Well, we've been in the book of Revelation quite a long time. This is about the 34th sermon in the series. And I believe I said that this morning that there would probably be three more messages to complete this particular series. And after that, we'll be going to something else, another subject that I believe you perhaps can delight in and will delight in. But tonight we're thinking about the topic of the end of the world. The end of the world. That's a little frightening to even say, to think about the end of the world. I think it only fair to tell you that not all preachers agree on this message tonight. There are some who believe that the end of the world means the termination and the annihilation of everything we know, the earth, the world, and the skies and the heavens to be, that one day none of this will be anymore. But God will create something absolutely new and different from that. I'm very much aware of that. I'm also aware of the fact that there is evidence in the Word of God, and along with the fact that there are some preachers who believe, and they join with me in this, that it does not mean end of the world by means of extinction. We do not mean termination of this world, but rather a change, a renovation that's going to take place. Where this term is used in the Bible, it does not mean extinction or total destruction. Now, this is what we're seeking to set forth tonight, and it might help if you have a pencil or a pen, because I want to give you four words in a moment. Four words. They're Greek words, but they're words that are translated world, W-O-R-L-D, in your Bible. And yet all four are entirely different. But to set the stage, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. And there are two or three references here. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verses 10 through 13. I used and read this morning, but it is in the message tonight. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, it's a very important word, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, if you'll take a moment to go to Isaiah chapter 65. We also referred to that reference this morning, but we need to go back there tonight just to set the stage for this study. Isaiah chapter number 65, verses 17 and 18. Isaiah 65, 17 and 18. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And in Isaiah chapter 66, verse number 22, it says, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And one other, in keeping with our Revelation studies, is the 21st chapter of Revelation, just verse number 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, as I said, I do not hold to the extinction of the heavens and the earth being on fire and burning completely up and becoming totally non-existent, but rather I hold to the concept that it will be renovated and it will be changed into that which is new. This word world, W-O-R-L-D, in the English Bible, whether you're reading it in the New American Standard, whether you're reading it in the NIV, whether you're reading it in the King James Version, the word world in the English Bible is used approximately 250 times in the New Testament. Now, we would make a big mistake if we tried to limit all the 250 times it is used to one little simple definition. It means many different things. Now, that word translated world, it consists of four different Greek words. When you hit this Greek word, it is translated world. You hit another Greek word, it is translated world. I'd like for you to get these words down. I'll spell them, I'll pronounce them, and I want you to list one right under the other. The first one is K-O-S-M-O-S, cosmos. It is a Greek word. It is translated world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, cosmos. It is used most for the translation of the word world. Primarily, it means order and arrangement. We get our word cosmetic from it. There are more than a dozen different usages of this word, cosmos. It does not always mean the same thing every time you see it in your Bible. I want to give you an example of that. In John chapter 1, verse 10. John chapter 1, verse 10. This is speaking about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. All three of those words are translated from the Greek word cosmos. Cosmos. But they don't all mean the same thing. The first place it is used refers to the habitable world, the earth. He was in the world. He came into the habitation realm of humanity when He was incarnated. The second one refers to the universe. And the world was made by Him. Not just what you see when you look at a map, but my dear friends, the whole universal system was made by Him. And the third place refers to the unregenerate population of the world to which He came. He came into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. That is the word cosmos. The second word, and I'll spell it, probably easier to spell than it is to pronounce, O-I-K-O-U-M-E-N-E, oikomene, if I am pronouncing it correctly. Oikomene. It means the inhabited earth. Wherever this word is used, it may be translated world, but it means the inhabited earth. In Matthew chapter 24, verse number 14, it is used. This particular word, oikomene. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 14. I want us to go slowly and move through these slowly. 24, verse number 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. It is not the word cosmos, but it is this word oikomene, the inhabited earth. Well, why would you want to preach the gospel anywhere that was not inhabited? Okay? But when that word is used, it speaks of the inhabited earth. A third word is G-E. I like this one better because it's easy to spell. G-E. Now, it's not the G that is in trouble with